chapter 2, and I'm going to be reading from verses 8 through 14, and my short message, and when I mean short, we'll be here for 4 hours instead of two. So, but I'm just kidding. This morning's teaching is entitled, The Christmas Connection. The Christmas Connection. Emphasis on the name Christ. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2, starting from verse 8, Now they were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. You know, the Christmas story and all its starting points is so amazing. When you really read the Christmas story, no matter what starting point you begin with, whether you start with the wise men or Mary or Joseph, even with the shepherds, each account of Jesus's birth presents itself with so much hope and promise. It does. Every single account has hope and promise. And you know, when we look at the holiday season, when we look at the Christmas season, the birth of Jesus is so powerful. It's so powerful, and it is single-handedly the most pivotal moment in history because, yes, salvation for mankind came into the world. The hope of salvation came for mankind as we place our hope in the shed blood of Jesus Christ as he died for the sins of the world, as he took our sins to the cross. But Christmas is also a moment where God reminds us of fulfilled promises. God is a God that keeps his promises. You know, what I love about the Christmas story is that Christmas in and of itself is not only about the birth of Jesus, but it's also about God keeping his word. He's a God that keeps his word. In the book of Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, the prophet said, So shall my word that goes forth from my mouth not return to me void. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I have sent it. You see, friends, this morning, I don't know what it is that you've been waiting for. I don't know what promise it is in the word, as we've got over 3,000 plus promises in the scriptures for us. I don't know which one in specific you've been waiting for, but I do want you to know that in this holiday season, there is a reminder that the birth of Christ is the fulfillment of God keeping his word. In other words, God is a God that keeps his word. You know, from the beginning of time, when man fell in the Garden of Eden, and they fell into sin, God had promised that one day, the Messiah would come. And as God curses the serpent in the Garden of Eden, he says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that I will cause hostility between you and the woman, because your offspring and her offspring, he will strike your head and you will strike his heel. This is a messianic promise from the beginning of time that Jesus would be the Messiah and that Jesus would come into this world. Friends, Jesus is the fulfilled promise of God. And God is a God that keeps his word. Can you say hallelujah? He's a God that keeps his word. You see, what I love about our text this morning is that it opens up first with an angel, and then later angels revealing themselves in praise and worship unto God, and then to these shepherds as they announce the coming of the baby Jesus, the Son of God, the hope of the world, that he was born. I love how this message is unique in that, number one, it comes to outcasts. It comes to people who are overlooked. Friends, maybe this year you might have felt overlooked. Maybe this year you might have asked the question, God, can you even see me? Another thing I like about this message is that it came at night. Amen. It came at an odd time. Friends, God is in the business of speaking in odd times. He's in the business of getting our attention at some of the strangest moments. Can I tell you that Jesus is still speaking to people in odd times, and he's still speaking to people that are overlooked? And this is one of the wonderful connections of the Christmas story. But when you read this story, you know, the reaction of these shepherds was nothing short of human. They're freaking out. They're scared. They're panicking. I mean, who wouldn't be panicking if a supernatural being just showed up to you right now and just out of nowhere, boom. They're panicking. However, what draws my attention to this story is not so much the reaction of the shepherds, but it's the message of these angels. It's what these angels said. They said, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Church, the birth of Jesus Christ is good news. It's good news. And if you've had a year or a life plagued with bad news, there is good news for you. Good news that joy, salvation, and hope came to this world. Good news. However, what I realize as a pastor is that as good as it may sound, there's a lot of people that has not been their reality. That has not been the reality, especially during this holiday season. And maybe perhaps you might have been someone who experienced the loss of a loved one. Maybe this year you lost a family member, a parent, maybe a son, maybe a daughter. Many are tormented in this holiday season even by the stress of over-commercialization. Let me tell you something, commercials will wear you out. I'm dead serious. I personally avoided the stores this holiday season. I did. We did our Christmas shopping early. I avoided the stores. I did not, you know, want to be tempted to lose my ghost on somebody out there, you know, because it's serious out there. But perhaps you were tormented by the stresses of the over-commercialization of the holiday season, or even the pressures to buy gifts, some of which, let's be honest, we might not have been able to afford. Christmas is not about being in debt. Come on now. Maybe some parents here this morning are saddened because they couldn't give their children the gifts they wanted to give them. And maybe you wanted to do certain things for your child, but you didn't have the money to make it happen. You know, while I was preparing for this message, I read an article from Psychology Today. And in the article, it was entitled, "Why People Get Depressed at Christmas." And it reported in one North American survey done on first responders, those are your firemen, your policemen, and doctors, that said over 45% of them dread the holiday season. They dreaded the holiday season because hospitals reported higher attempts of suicide. And many help agencies, those are psychologists and therapists and public health agencies, they reported higher complaints of depression during this time of year. These are actual studies that were done. Psychologists have even coined a term for this time of year called SAD, S-A-D, seasonal affective disorder. Where people grow discouraged, where people grow depressed. And maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you've just had a bad year. But friends, there's hope for you. That there's a message of joy for you. And the message of Christmas is that joy and salvation has come to this world. This is the message. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Friends, this is the Christmas message. It's laced within all the pages of scripture. God's been trying to get our attention for a long time. But many of us, we've become disconnected from the glory of God. We've become disconnected from the peace of God. We've become disconnected from the goodwill to all men, the message of these angels. And really and truly, church, I believe that one of the biggest dilemmas that has happened in this age and in this hour is that we have lost the Christ of Christmas. We have lost the true meaning of what Christmas is really about. And my message is very simple. We need to put Christ back in Christmas. There's some of us that perhaps this year has been a time to ruminate on unmet goals, failures, which have led to a victim mindset of powerlessness where you believe that you have no influence to be able to make a difference. And you forget the real reason of this season. You forget the real reason of this holiday. And even at this teaching, you might even be tempted to play with the thought or dismiss the reality of what I'm saying. And you'll say, well, I'm not disconnected from Jesus. But pastor, you've got to understand that I've had a rough year and this has happened in my life and this has happened in my life. But I will ask you a reciprocal question. And the question is, why doesn't this time of year also remind you of the hope that is for your life? The joy that is for your life. Why are there only reminders of in this time of year about everything else but the hope that this time of year represents? Friends, we serve a living God, a God who's alive. Now, I'll never discredit the reality of someone suffering. We all suffer. We all go through things. But church, this is the message of Christmas. That Jesus came for broken people. Jesus came to fix messed up things. He came to fix things that were broken. Our relationship with God was broken. Psalm 34 verse 18, for those of you who are heavy and sorrowful, I want you to get this word in your spirit. It says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Friends, God is here. This is the message of Christmas, that he came for the crushed. He came for the broken. He came for the bruised. He came for the abandoned. He came for the neglected. He came for the forgotten. He came to heal the sins of this world. He came. He's a savior that came for a broken world. Listen again to the message of these angels. Good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Good tidings. Good tidings of great joy. He is Christ the Lord. He is the glory of God. They declare glory to God in the highest and on earth and goodwill toward all men. You see, church, what should be even more sobering than the memories of brokenness that have happened to us throughout this whole world, throughout this whole year, should be the sobriety that we have a hope. We have a hope in Jesus Christ, which should be even more sobering than the failed attempts as the year draws to another close, is the salvation that comes through Christ Jesus, who came to us because you and I were never enough for ourselves in the first place. You see, we can choose to ruminate on failure, or we can choose to look at Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. This morning, I want to encourage you, and I want to give you some brief points on how to maximize this season. And if you'll take these points down, my prayer is that you will also take these points into the new year. Because there's some folks that, you know, they live off this creed, new year, new me. But we've been the same us since 2004. Okay. New year, new me is just a painted version of the old you. But here's the reality. Is that days go by and the mind races faster. And this has happened to me many times this year. The mind races faster with thoughts and thinking than the heart was prepared to receive. Hello, how many of you have been there? The mind will get you in trouble sometimes. And thoughts begin to flood this gate right here. This is one of the gates of the body. You got the eyes, the ears, the mind. And it begins to flood this gate with regrets or what could have been statements, or maybe you're not good enough type of sentiments, where you're filled with all types of condemnatory types of thinking. And you've got to get in your spirit these points that I'm going to share with you this morning. Things, like I said, that I believe that if you'll take into the new year, they will help drastically change the way that you approach life. Number one is a deep groaning. Church, I cannot stress this enough. We need to learn how to pray again. Some of us, and I mean this, and I know this is Christmas, but we need to hear this, is that we've forgotten how to pray. We need to learn how to pray. Psalm chapter 42, verse 7. David said, deep calls on to deep. At the noise of your waterfalls, all your waves and your billows have gone over me. Church, prayer still works. This year, God has shown me the power of prayer like never before. I have always been a praying man, but this year in particular, there has been such a twist where he has shown me the depth and the magnitude of prayer. When you take all your depth to Jesus, that's where peace is found. That's where hope is found. And with prayer, we've got to match this second thing, which is remembrance. Christian, you and I, we've got to get in the habit of having a recollection on the positive things. You see, we so readily and easily access all the negative things. But when was the last time we recalled the good things that God has done? You know, in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 19 through 26, we see the prophet distraught. The prophet is depressed. But then there is this breath of sobriety. Praise God for breaths of sobriety. And he says, hold on, I'm not consumed. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. I hope in him. We've got to remember these things. Church, God's goodwill, that message of the angels, goodwill toward all men, God's goodwill toward us is that he is a merciful God. Man, let me tell you that there are things that should have happened to us this year that didn't happen to us this year because of the mercies of God. There are things that should have took us out this year that did not take us out this year because of the mercies of God. Friends, every single thing that did not take you out is a reminder that he ain't through with you yet. Things that should have happened. We need to have a remembrance. You see, with that remembrance, we need to also be a people that learn to meditate. And a meditation is an intense focus on what God has said and what God has promised. I've been preaching a lot this year from Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 9. And many of us, we can probably quote it by heart, but the beginning portions of that verse says to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let all your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to say, meditate on whatever things are true, noble, virtuous, praiseworthy, of good report. We need to focus on these things. Church, we've got to adopt an intense focus on what God has said. You know, we so readily hear everything else that everyone else is saying. We so readily hear what the news and the media are saying. But when was the last time you listened to the angel song that peace, goodwill, and hope have come here to all men? With that meditation should be married praise and worship. Let me tell you, church, get this in your spirit and take this into 2017. Learn how to praise again. Learn how to worship again. Learn how to be a person of thanksgiving. You see, praise and worship is interesting because it is a deliberate push to exalt God despite what's seen. Despite what's seen. You see, you and I are notorious, and I put myself in that because I'm notorious for this too, of only responding to the things that we see. But church, when we learn to walk in faith, and when we learn to praise God despite what's seen, the psalmist said in Psalm chapter 54, verse 6 through 7, I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me out of all my troubles, and my eye has seen its desire upon my enemies. Church, let me tell you that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the message of Christmas for your life is a message that should fill your whole heart and your soul with praise and worship. We
We've got to start learning how to pray. Lord, I praise you for the breath in my body. Lord, I praise you for the roof over my head. Lord, I praise you for the meal that I have. Lord, I praise you for my wife. Lord, I praise you for my children. Lord, I praise you for my church. There's some of us, we complain about everything, but we've got to learn how to praise God again.
If there was anybody who had a reason to complain, it was shepherds sitting on a hillside, cold, but God gave them something. Friends, we've got a reason to praise. You see, with that praise should be connected trust. Trust. Trust simply says, you're not going to make it on your own. I need Jesus every day because I'm not going to make it on my own. The psalmist says in Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth. Church, we've got to remember that He is God. He is God. He is God. He wasn't God. He is God and still has always been God and will always be God. It's not that He was a God. He was and is and will always be. Be still and know that I am God. Number six, we need movement. You see, everything I said up until this point is all good, but eventually we get upset with that. We got to learn how to move as well. You see, there's some of us, we want God to drag us. But church, you've got to realize that there has to be a point in your life where you learn to move. Even in pain, you can't stop. You can't stop. Let me tell you, pain hurts and pain is real. But even if you go through pain, repeat step one. Pray. Pray. Meditate. Learn to praise and worship and learn to trust Him again. We can't stop. Church, let me tell you, some of us, we've gone through painful experiences this year. But we cannot allow pain to take us out, because pain is only temporary. Have you ever stubbed your toe before? It eventually gets healed. But let me tell you that when it happens, it's one of the worst things that could ever happen in your life, especially if you have children and those demonic toys called Legos. Come on now. They're not really demonic. Some of y'all gonna throw out your Legos. You'll be like, I brought my kids Legos this Christmas. No, okay, I'm messing with y'all. But we've got to learn to have movement. We can't stop. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14, I'll be preaching from this in a series I'm doing called Own It. But the Apostle Paul says, he says, not that I've already attained or that I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. You know, one of the things that we're notorious of doing, we're notorious of looking at Christians who are a little bit further along than us and they seem to have it all together as though they're perfect. And what I love about Paul is that Paul says, you know what? I know I'm an apostle. I know I serve God, but guess what? I don't even have it all together. I'm not perfect. But he says, but one thing I do. Let me hear you say one thing. He says, forgetting those things which are behind, and I reach forward to those things which are ahead. You see, there's some of us that we're living on rewind and not play. And this is one of the biggest mistakes that we can make. He said, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We need to start adopting, church, short memories. And what I mean by short memories, I'm talking about dwelling constantly on failures, dwelling constantly on everything that didn't go right, on everything that didn't happen the way that we thought that it should. And we can sit here and make the decision to ruminate on 2016 and say, oh, that was the worst year of my life. Or we could look at it and say, man, this is one great launching pad to be able to walk in that angel song. That joy has come to the world. That peace and goodwill toward all men. In closing, church, and I told you I would be long. I think this is a record for me on a Sunday. We need to share the load. I'm going to say that again. We need to share the load. There's some of you, and I want you to get this in your spirit because the Lord told me to tell you this. You've been carrying too much. You've been carrying unnecessary weight. Things that he didn't even appropriate for your life, but you've been carrying it because you've been afraid to be real. You've been afraid to be transparent. You've been afraid to be vulnerable, and the enemy has set on your chest. But it's time to breathe again, church. Share the load. Share the load. You see, we got to learn to ask for prayer. We've got to learn that no, I don't need to get into a deep dialogue of everything that's happening in my life, but we need to ask for prayer. You might not even have the strength to pray for yourself. You might not even have the strength to encourage yourself. You've got to learn to share the load. I'm going to read a very overlooked passage of scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 17. And I say overlooked because it's the goodbyes. Most people don't read these things. He says, I am glad about the coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Archaicus. For what was lacking on your part, they supplied. I'm going to say that last part again. For what was lacking on your part, they supplied. Friends, God places people in our lives to fill the things that lack inside of our lives. But we're trying to carry too much. We're trying to hold too much. And when we hold it all and we can't hold the weight, we fall apart. You see, we've got to learn to walk with this hope again. Jesus gave us an example. He gave us something to live by. Hope, goodwill, cheer, peace. But if we won't add these points to our lives, then it will never be our reality. I'm going to ask the worship team if they'll come forward. And as they do that, I just want to talk to two people. Two people this morning. The first person is that you don't know Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I said over and over again in this message that Jesus is the reason for the season. That we have to put Christ back in Christmas. This time of year is about Jesus. It's about Jesus. And if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, it starts today. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's going to be easy. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that everything is just going to come together, presto, whammo. It's not. I'm not going to sell you a genie in a bottle. But I will talk to you about a Savior that will be there for you when everyone else will leave your side. I will talk to you this morning about the hope of the world. I will talk to you this morning about the one who has promised us that pain won't last always. And that one day he will come again and that every tear will be wiped away from our eyes. Hallelujah. There will be no more suffering and no more pain. That is the God whom I serve. Jesus, who wants to have a real relationship with you. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, and what is a relationship? Do you talk to him? Does he talk to you? Do you commune with him? Or do you just know about him? Head knowledge is not relationship. Do you genuinely have a relationship with Jesus? And if you say to me, Pastor Jose, I don't have this relationship, we want to pray for you this morning. So what I'm going to ask everyone to do is just to bow your heads. And if you say, Pastor Jose, I don't have a relationship with Jesus, and I want to ask him to come into my heart this morning. I want to ask him to live inside of my heart, to be the Lord of my life. I just want you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. There's no shame in it. Listen, I was praying for you before you even walked into this place this morning. If you want to accept Jesus into your heart, just raise your hand. I'm going to move on with the teaching, with the message, sorry. But there are people that are up here that are ready to pray for you. They're ready to pray for you. If you want to come up here, they're up here ready to pray for you. You can come to any one of these people. But for the rest of you, church, if you say, Pastor Jose, I've been going through it. this has been a rough year. This has been a hard year. A hard year on my faith. A hard year on my emotions. A hard year on my health. A hard year on my family. A hard year on my mind. And I can hear the angel song this morning. I can hear them saying, peace and goodwill toward all men. I can hear them saying, glory to God in the highest. And that God wants to renew peace into my heart. And I want to commit this morning. I want to commit to surrendering my heart and my emotions. I'm not going to be bound any longer. And I'm not going to let myself continue another step without saying, Lord, take control again. Take control again. If you've been ruminating on failures, if you've been ruminating on things that have happened, then healing is here. For someone else, maybe you've experienced the loss of a loved one and you've just not been able to kick depression. Christmas is about God bringing joy to the world. It's about God bringing salvation and hope, new beginnings. If any of that applied to you, what I want you to do is just stand to your feet right where you are. I want you to lift both hands to heaven and say, Jesus, here's my heart.